Tonight at 7:30, the Wisconsin Chamber Orchestra is going to be performing the last of their Masterworks concerts for this season at the Capitol Theater, 7:30 tonight. And the concert will include the children's games of Georges Bizet, the Petite Suite of Debussy, and it'll all start with a symphony by a major composer, a very multifaceted composer by the name of Dmitri Shostakovich. On the program will be his Symphony No. 14 from 1969. It's a work for an orchestra plus soprano and bass. The bass will be Timothy Jones, and the soprano is right here with me in our studio, and she is Mary McKenzie. Welcome to the Midday.
Hello, thank you for having me.
And I could say welcome back to Madison many times over, as you're a native.
That's right, born and raised. And I grew up very active in the musical community here. Went to West High School, played in orchestra, sang in the chorus. Played
YSO.
Violin. Oh, yep. Played violin in YSO. Mm-hmm. Also did children's operas with Madison Opera, and then later sang in their chorus. I was a busy bee as a student musician here.
And you're in Boston now.
I am. I've been in Boston for about 3.5 years. And just continuing to pursue my career. I sing a lot of chamber music and art song, with a particular focus on modern music as well.
So how do you approach something like this symphony, this 14th Symphony of Shostakovich from 1969? It's a piece that it's in 11 parts,
mm-hmm.
and each part is, not mincing any words, about death.
That's correct. Yeah, the Shostakovich I've known for a little bit. I've never sung it. This will be my debut singing it. But what struck me about the symphony, I mean, certainly a lot of the material was familiar to me, knowing Shostakovich symphonies growing up, but I really loved that he set a few different poets for this symphony. Lorca, Apollinaire, Kugelberger, which probably isn't as familiar, and Rilke. And each of the poems is about death, but it's not as dark as it maybe sounds like it is. It's pretty playful and quirky and sometimes oddly whimsical, and there's certain movements that are just breathtakingly gorgeous. And, I mean, for me, approaching it really came down to starting with the poetry and just...
As Shostakovich no doubt did.
Yeah, yeah, and just internalizing that and just finding all the different nuances. And what's also fun is that then allows me to find all sorts of different colors with my voice. Sometimes it's dark and rich, sometimes it's a little bit more strident, sometimes it's a little bit more talkative. There's a lot of variety that's really fun to play with.
Let's see, so Rilke, Apollinaire... And
Lorca,
and
Kugelberger.
Okay, of course, Kugelberger. But we're talking about three different languages there.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So it's really what's fascinating about the symphony is Shostakovich had read a Russian translation of the Rilke poems, and he was so struck by them that he wanted to write the symphony. So the symphony, when he composed it, was all in Russian. But then there was sort of an interesting journey with how this symphony has been performed over the years, because Shostakovich didn't necessarily want it to just be performed in Russian. He felt very strongly that you could perform it in the language of the people that it was being performed for. So when it had its first performance in Germany, another gentleman by the name of Jürgen Köchel created a German version, and Shostakovich signed off on it, and that's actually the version that we're going to be performing tonight. And then later, that same translator created yet another version going back to the original languages of the poems. So there is a version floating around out there with Spanish for the Lorca, French for the Apollinaire, and then German for the Rilke. Yeah, it's really fascinating.
Well, you mentioned that you have performed works and do perform works by contemporary composers, too.
Yes.
And some of these names, as they are contemporary, would not be as familiar, of course, as some of the names that have been around for a couple hundred years. And yet there's some great stuff out there that bears are calling attention to. You have, for example, fairly recent, I think in the last 2 or 3 years anyway, been featured on this recording on the Albany label of Cathedral Music.
Yes, yes.
And this one composer in particular, I think you've worked with a couple of times now.
Yeah, James Primosh. I've worked with him a few times. I actually met James Primosh when I sang at the Token Creek Music Festival here in Madison many years ago. That's how we connected.
Mm-hmm. All these connections surface that way. And his music, at least in this context, is quite interesting because at times it sounds just like Gregorian chant, you know, it sounds like it could be 800 years old, but then other things happen in there, one of which is you.
Right.
So if we were to listen to one of the tracks, one of the movements from this, and we'll hear the effects of both of the ancient and the more contemporary sound. Mm-hmm. And so at hand, we happen to have, for example, let's see, Natus Est Parentis. Is that one of yours?
Oh, let me take a look here. I would do, what's interesting about this version that I'm singing on the CD, I'm actually alternating with a children's choir. So I would say, I would either do Jesu Dulcis Memoria or the very last movement, O Filii et Filiae.
Well, let's do Jesu Dulcis Memoria.
Yeah.
Contemporary music with very much roots in ancient music. That was some of the sacred songs and meditations of James Primosh. And the soprano feature there is my guest today, Mary McKenzie, returning to Wisconsin and to Madison to perform with the Wisconsin Chamber Orchestra tonight, featured in the Shostakovich Symphony No. 11, which will be part of the concert taking place tonight in the Capitol Theater, 7:30. At the Overture Center for the Arts, the Wisconsin Chamber Orchestra. And we have another one of your recordings, of which there are several, of course. And this one, although it also features some of that same composer, James Primrush, also has one by Daniel Crozier.
Daniel Crozier, yes. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And these are settings of Emily Dickinson.
Yes.
Interesting thing about Emily Dickinson is, some people say that, well, she was, in writing her poems, influenced by hymns anyway, and the kind of the line structure of hymns. Did you find that to be the case? Did they fall naturally for you as a singer?
They do, you know, and, I mean, she is certainly a very popular poet to be set. And I was really struck by Dan's settings because I feel that his settings just captured all of these different colors in her words, and the text just falls very easily. And I mean, Dan's setting is just very colorful and a joy to sing for sure.
And so we are going to be hearing Hope is the Thing with Feathers.
Yes.
Do you feel that you understand these poems entirely before you sing them?
Yeah, I mean,
this, not everybody does with every Emily Dickinson poem.
Sure, and sometimes it takes multiple readings to internalize what she's going for. And I mean, a lot of what she's going for, I think, are these very subtle emotions that you feel on the inside.
Sure.
And I mean, in this particular one, Hope is the Thing with Feathers. I mean, it's always like right there. Sometimes it's not. Sometimes, you know, being hopeful doesn't, you know, manifest in a super expressive way, but it's always just there and like a little kernel supporting you. So,
this time of year we're seeing the fledglings, you know, starting to emerge in the nest.
And I know.
It could be like that. And here it is. Hope is the Thing with Feathers.
Hope is
the settings of songs by, or song settings of poetry by Emily Dickinson. Hope is the Thing with Feathers by Daniel Crozier, featuring soprano Mary McKenzie. And she's performing, as I've mentioned, with the Wisconsin Chamber Orchestra tonight in the Shostakovich Symphony No. 11. Do you do opera too then?
I do a little bit of opera. Most of the opera I've done has been modern opera, new opera. So I've had the privilege of premiering entirely new theatrical works for voice. The last one I did a couple of years ago was actually in New York City for the Prototype Festival, and it was an opera based on the life of Mata Hari.
Oh,
and,
sure.
Yeah.
She's overdue for treatment, the great World War I mystery spy woman.
Yeah. So it was.
So were you Mata Hari?
I was not. So Mata Hari was actually written for an actress, and I played the role of Sister Leonid, when Mata Hari was in prison, she was in a women's prison, and Sister Leonid ran the prison and became a friend and confidant during that time for her.
What's the name of that opera?
Mata Hari.
Mata Hari. Okay. Mm-hmm. Easy to remember that. Well, we'll look for more performances of yours, and including tonight, of course, and you'll be, it looks like you're going to be having a busy schedule when you get back to Boston, too.
Yes, actually, when I get back to Boston, I have to start working on Elliot Carter. So nice little cherry on the sundae for my season, just some nice casual Elliot Carter.
Yeah. All right. Well, have fun with that.
Thank you.
It's in good hands, as will tonight be also the Shostakovich and Mary McKenzie. Pleasure having you back in Madison.
Thank you so much for having me.